daily for Halfway Day. And if you're keeping track, that makes it the 12th of June, which means it's just 10 short days till you get to help us move to the new place. Woo! Good times. Yeah, right? We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that finally walked into his boss to tell him some things or two about all these damn meetings they've been scheduling, that there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
You're a pitiful specimen of manhood.
Whoa, you need to slow your roll there a little bit, Chief. Hey, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm super. Thanks for asking.
So nice of you. What happened on this fine, fantastical day there, sir?
In 1897, the Swiss Army knife is patented by Carl Elsner.
In 1906, the concept of sound movies is patented by John Balance, and that's why we call it balancing sound. No, it's not.
1913, the Pathé Frères Studios releases the first animated cartoon made in the U.S. with modern techniques. It was called Dachshund, also known as The Artist's Dream. One of these innovations was the use of translucent paper to make it easier to position objects in successive drawings.
Oh, yeah. 1928, the first outdoor television transmission is made by John Logie Baird from the roof of his house at 133 Long Acre, London. Yes, it was amateur porn.
1965, the Big Bang theory of the creation of the universe is supported by the announcement of the discovery of new celestial bodies known as blue galaxies.
1967, the Soviet probe Venera 4 successfully launched on a mission to the planet Venus.
1979, the Gossamer Albatross, an airplane powered solely by human power, flies across the English Channel. Cyclist Brian Allen used a pedaling mechanism.
An albatross! An albatross! 1981, MGM releases the film Clash of the Titans, directed by Desmond Davis, starring Sir Laurence Olivier, Harry Hamlin, Maggie Smith, Ursula Andress, and if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Burgess Meredith in there?
1987, 20th Century Fox releases science fiction action film Predator, directed by John McTiernan and starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers, Elpidia Carrillo, Bill Duke, Jesse Ventura, and Kevin Peter Hall, thereby solidifying my theory that since we've had Arnold Schwarzenegger on one coast, Jesse Ventura in the middle, if we could just get Carl Weathers on the East Coast, then we will remain predator-free forever.
1996, the Philadelphia District Court declares the Communications Decency Act of 96 unconstitutional in a challenge filed by the American Civil Liberties Union. This was basically Congress's attempt to regulate porno online. Good luck with that.
Oh, that's why Ted Cruz was looking at that. But he was studying.
See?
I think that was the same excuse that Jeffrey Jones used. 1997, Dragon Systems releases the first version of its speech recognition program, Naturally Speaking. The software features a vocabulary of 30,000 words.
2001, TNT airs the first episode of its two-season run of the Witchblade series, based on the Top Cow comic book series of the same name.
2003, video game developer Obsidian Entertainment is founded. The company will go on to produce such games as Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords, or KOTOR 2, and Neverwinter Nights 2. They only work in sequels.
2009, U.S. television stations complete their transition from analog to digital television. So all of you people that kept buying pan and scan DVDs, and now all of your TVs are rectangular, I told you so! Birthdays?
Blake Ross, 34 years old, American computer programmer, co-created Mozilla Firefox.
Jason Mewes is 45 years of age. That is Jay from the Viewisk universe. Zach and Miri make a porno. Todd in the Book of Pure Evil. Some other things that you may not know.
Todd in the Book of Pure Evil is so delightful.
Right.
Their musical episode is fantastic. Francis O'Connor, 52 years old, from AI and The Conjuring 2.
Kathy Tyson is 54. She was probably in a ton of things, but she was fantastic in Serpent and the Rainbow.
Paula Marshall, 55, from Hellraiser 3, Iris in the 1990 Flash, Cupid, and Californication.
Scott Thompson is 60 years of age, played a bunch of waiters in Kids in the Hall.
Man, he was so handsome, I bet he got all the ladies. Timothy Busfield, 62 years old, Poindexter in Revenge of the Nerds, 30-something, and Benjamin Franklin in Sleepy Hollow.
No longer with us, born this date in 1577, Paul Gildan. He discovered the Gildanus theorem to determine the surface and the volume of a solid of revolution.
1806, John A. Roebling, German-American engineer, designed the Brooklyn Bridge.
Only person you should try to buy it from. 1915, Priscilla Lane, Arsenic and Old Lace. She was great in that.
Oh, God, I love that movie so much. 1920, Dave Berg. He drew The Lighter Side for Mad.
1930, Jim Nabors from Gomer Pyle, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And, of course, Stroker Ace, a criminally underseen Burt movie.
On CBS, we've got a new Amazing Race, NCIS, The Cases They Can't Forget, and a rerun of SWAT.
ABC, it's Press Your Luck, Card Sharks, and Match Game. No, it's not 1981. No!
NBC has the North American Hollander Linkfield Game 7, if needed.
Because I should have checked. I have no idea. I have no idea. Fox, it's a new MasterChef and First Responders Live, which I hope not, because things could go really south on that.
CW has a rerun of Penn and Teller Fool Us, so if you've already seen it, bring a friend over and place bets. And Jane the Virgin.
I mean, they were even watching hockey at the stupid place I was doing trivia last night. Freeform. Zoe recruits her brother Junior to be wingman at Titanium for a fun night out, ignoring the drama that's taking place around her on a new Grownish.
I believe it's Zoe and Jaunier.
Ah, nice. Yes.
FXX Pam Sandwich ruins everyone's dinner by releasing something deep inside of them on a new Archer.
FX is showing Men in Black 3, which was better than Men in Black 2, but that didn't take much.
True. FXM has Hidden Figures.
Ooh. IFC has the sequel to Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Fight Club.
BBC America has Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
But the creature from the Black Lagoon's not in it. And that bugs me. Hey, look, Paramount showing Men in Black, they're like, hey, we know the other two weren't that good. We're just going to do the original.
Wow, it's almost like we went through a time loop. Sci-Fi has Seg-El, who finds himself far away from home, where his grandfather attempts to confront General Zod with his rebellion on a new Krypton.
Speaking of time loops, TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
TNT has Con Air, the most realistic action that Nicolas Cage ever does.
Lifetime Movie Network's what we're watching, though, because when a car accident leaves a woman without her husband, a mother seeks to have a fresh start with her son by moving in with her sister-in-law, who suspects her brother was murdered by his wife and is determined to spirit away her nephew. Andrea Bogart and Hannah Barefoot star in The Killer Next Door.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby senses Xander is hiding something when he avoids kissing her after their first official date. Could it be that he's dead? Because why would you skip out on that? In the office, Abby helps Marlena with an age discrimination case when the opposing litigator happens to be Ben, the man that she sued for sexual harassment at her old firm. She tries to get taken off the case, but Stefan's like, how dare you put your personal life before the interest of the firm? And she's like, did I mention he's a bigger sleazeball than you? She gets so upset she thinks maybe she'll drop all this law stuff and one day just go run a media conglomerate. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted letters today!
Or at least none that we could actually read, because we got a bunch of correct guesses for where Chad and Abby are this week. So congratulations, everybody. You are in the running, and you still have a couple of days to get your name in the hat. We literally use a hat to draw from. Maybe we'll Twitch it sometime. It's beautiful. Send that note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. And it's like an Abraham Lincoln hat, so you can't see. You know, it's really deep down in there. Or you can just send us a voicemail to tell us all about it if you prefer. To do that, you simply have to pick up some kind of mobile or landline device and dial the magical numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
I prefer the beanie with a propeller.
To Destiny comes a new podcast. Three guardians who will guide you to glory, honor, and
Yena. Not that kind of podcast.
This is Happy Hour from the Tower. I'm T.
I'm Nick.
I'm Brandon.
And we're going to talk about all things Destiny. Why we play.
Why we love punching aliens in the face.
And why my dad sucks at the Crucible.
Here we go.
A podcast for players of all levels. Find Happy Hour from the Tower on iTunes, Stitcher, or at happyhourfromthetower.com. Eyes up, Guardian. Time to give up the ghost. It's Happy Hour from the Tower. First round's on us.
Hi, this is Corin Nemec from Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. Gosh, that guy is charming and awesome and had a really good time on our show so long ago. Hey, Corin, come back and do another show with us, man. Come back.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
We did end that last one on a cliffhanger, so what's out at the comic shop, sir?
From Detective Comics, we've got The Adventures of the Super Sons, number 11 of 12, almost wrapped up. Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, number 2 of 6. Deceased, I see what they did there. Two of six. And the Dream Hunters chart the footsteps of their absent lord through realms infernal and external, stumbling at last upon an unexpected treasure, while the new incumbent upon the throne of the Dreaming, scared of its own mind, at last decides who and how to be in the Dreaming, number 10.
Over at Marvel, it's Black Cat number 1, Cosmic Ghost Rider destroys Marvel History 4 of 6, Savage Avengers number 2, and then, after learning the true identity of his father, Luke continues his training and prepares for the inevitable showdown, determined never to follow the path of Vader! But when a rebel general's mistakes lead to disaster and Luke must seize command, the dark side tempts him as never before, featuring the eerie influence of the Emperor in Star Wars Age of Rebellion, Luke Skywalker number 1.
I love that they put that on there. It's like now lemon scented and filmed in Technicolor. It's featuring the eerie influence of the Emperor. From Boom Studios, we've got Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 5, Jim Henson's Beneath the Dark Crystal number 10. Wrapping it up with two more episodes, so make sure you check it out. Rocco's Modern Afterlife 3 of 4. From Dynamite Entertainment, we've got Army of Darkness, Bubba Hotep number 4, Elvira. The Shape of Elvira, number 3. More like an 8, am I right? $6 Million Man, number 4 of 5. Really? They're not going to 6 on that one?
Nope.
When you step through an interdimensional gate, the results are unpredictable. Sometimes you find yourself in a bikini made of coins with a sword in your hand.
Sure.
If I had a nickel. Reality is shattering. The gate has been opened for an invasion from the great old ones, and only model spy Betty Page can save the world. In Betty Page Unbound, number 1.
I usually prefer my Betty Page bound. Archie Comics Jughead The Hunger versus Vampironica number 2. Titan Comics' Tank Girl Full Color Classics number 3 from 1990-91. IDW Publishing Tangled the series Hair and Now. And in American Mythology Productions, Laurel and Hardy have experienced worldwide notoriety for their comic adventures, and American Mythology has uncovered some of their classic comic book follies that have never been seen in English in Laurel and Hardy Classic Follies number 1.
From Dark Horse, we've got Beasts of Burton, The Presence of Others, number 2 of 2, wrapping that up. Man, you know what? Hey, American Mythology Productions, if you're listening, do a crossover between Laurel and Hardy and Vampirella, or Laurel and Hardy and Elvira. Come on, we want to see that.
That'd be cool.
Back to Dark Horse. We've also got Black Hammer 45, number 4, Sword Daughter, number 7. From Zenoscope, we've got Dragon's Blood, 2 of 4, halfway through that run. Keen Spot Entertainment, after her family is killed and she is taken advantage of by a pack of evil zombie mercenaries, young dead Sonya is granted sword-wielding zombie superpowers by a mysterious undead goddess. Now, she may be a zombie, but she ain't no tramp. Vowing to never lay with another man unless defeated in fair combat, dead Sonya wanders the mythic land of long ago, taking names and eating brains in Dead Sonya.
See, they need to make a movie just so they could have that as the tagline.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, that's gorgeous. Taking names and eating brains. Wow.
Odie Press, Shadow Roads, number 8, over at Image, Section 0, number 3 of 6. Sharky, the Bounty Hunter, number 4 of 6. Walking Dead, number 192. See who dies this time. And then, imagine someone like, oh, I don't know, Mark Zuckerberg created his own army of tech-obsessed teens and directed them to take on the government. What would the fallout be? Charlie Thumbs Fellows, he took my thumbs, is a member of just such an army. Poor and raised by the influential Mom, trademarked app, he finds himself at the center of war in Thumbs, 1 of 5.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Netflix has acquired the film rights to The Division, the film adaptation of the Ubisoft game, which has Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Chastain scheduled to star.
Wait, this is the game about mathletes and their quest for the lost dominator of Euclid?
No, that was Dark Crystal. The story is set in a dystopian New York City in the aftermath of a pandemic spread by paper money. The player, who is an agent of the Strategic Homeland Division, is tasked with helping to rebuild the division's operations in Manhattan, investigating the nature of the outbreak, and combating criminal activity in its wake.
Paper money? Like Monopoly?
At launch, the online-only action role-playing third-person shooter became the fastest-selling new IP in video game history and currently has more than 20 million players. A sequel was released earlier this year.
Division 2, Micro Division.
Rafe Judkins from Wheel of Time will adapt the screenplay with David Lynch, Deadpool 2, Hobbs and Shaw directing. The news was announced at Ubisoft's annual E3 press conference and confirmed by Netflix. And it will seem new and inventive. but then will become quickly boring and repetitive.
We've done so many stories on streaming services, you need a program just to keep up with them all.
And financing.
Steven Spielberg even made a pitch for a service called Quibi. He even has an idea for a show, one he described as super scary. And to get you in the right frame of mind, he only wants to make it available after midnight.
Wait, based on what time zone? And will I have to keep it out of sunlight? Is it okay if I get it wet?
Given the phones can track where it is at the moment and keep tabs on when the sun rises and sets in its area, Katzenberg and CEO Meg Whitman challenged their engineers to come up with an idea for how to view the show when it's spooky out. The results? A clock will appear on phones, ticking down until sun sets in wherever that user is. Unless it's completely gone.
Oh, okay.
Then the clock starts ticking again to when the sun comes back up, and the show will disappear until the next night.
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to watch this damn show.
Now, look, the tech sounds clever, but is appointment viewing still a thing? Well, the good news is he's writing it himself, Katzenberg said of the show at a recent conference. He hasn't written anything in a while, so getting him to write something is fantastic. The show is currently titled Spielberg's After Dark, and he's already written about half of the episodes. But on Quibi, episodes aren't like normal episodes.
What the hell is a Quibi?
It's a new service founded by the legendary film executive Katzenberg, which will give viewers content that can watch in quick bites, or Quibi. Each show will run a few hours long in total, but be released in short 10-minute or so chapters, almost like a visual novel. So Spielberg's show will really be basically a movie. It'll just be released and consumed in tiny chunks.
Is he okay with these being Academy Award contenders?
Sick burn. Suck it, Steve-o. Well, before you roll your eyes at this service, Katzenberg and his team have already signed up Guillermo del Toro, Sam Raimi, Doug Lima, Steven Soderbergh, Catherine Hardwick, Lawrence Fishburne, Anton Fuqua, and Anna Kendrick to make content. And they've also raised $1 billion with more coming in. Oh, and by the way, it is Quibi. I mistyped when searching and accidentally watched several movies over and over.
Warner Brothers and Legendary Entertainment are betting big on Dune. Not only are they releasing a huge star-studded movie adaptation from director Denis Villeneuve, they've also moving forward with a Dune TV series for their upcoming streaming service titled Dune: The Sisterhood. The show will be set in the same universe as the film and focus on a mysterious order of women. And for the sake of synergy, Villeneuve is also set to direct the pilot.
The official GRD position is for Warner's to add HBO and DC since their service costs as much as Melange.
The series, quote, explores the future through the eyes of a mysterious order of women, the Bin Jisirt. Given abilities by their mastery of their body and their mind, the Bin Jisirt expertly weave the feudal politics and intrigue of the Imperium, pursuing plans of their own that will ultimately lead them to the enigmatic planet of Arrakis, known to its inhabitants as Dune.
Oh, so they're colonizers.
Legendary is further fleshing out their Dune world with video games, comic books, and digital content, which means, again, they're betting big on this.
The only Dune we need is David Lynch's 5-hour cut, which is only 15 seconds longer than the original.
Yeah, but that dog, like, shaking its eyes left and right makes the whole thing work. The Dune movie is currently filming. Timothée Chalamet, Rebecca Ferguson, Oscar Isaac, Josh Brolin, Stellan Skarsgård, Dave Bautista, Zendaya, David Droschmeling, who I can't say, Stephen Henderson, Charlotte Rampling, Jason Momoa, Javier Bardem, everyone but you and I, and that film is set to hit November 20th, 2020. When asked if the scope of this project was attainable, an executive for the Legendary said, "It is by will alone I set my mind in motion. It is by the juice of Sfio that thoughts acquire speed. The lips acquire stains. Stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion." That's for the one crazy hardcore Dune nerd out there. You're welcome.
I just hope they do a Star Wars crossover where they get the guy from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou to basically act like one of those lightsaber training droids. Speaking of incredibly pricey things that people will want, even though they should know better.
Look, I'm interested in the WB stream, but I don't know that I'm all in about it.
Collectibles.
Sheesh, okay.
If you went through all of the E3 news, then you saw that the Final Fantasy VII remake has now been made a reality.
After a long sleep, time has come.
And to celebrate Final Fantasy VII's remake's release date, Square Enix is releasing limited edition Cloud and Sephiroth chronographs. Each is priced at just under $2,500, and in North America, it's limited to 77 pieces.
Each? I'm going to need to mine some spice to pay for this.
The individually numbered stainless steel watches feature a Seiko-made movement, as well as all sorts of nice Final Fantasy VII details.
The knowledge and wisdom of the ancients is held by the materia.
The watches will be released in March in North America.
Although I'm surprised they aren't oversized like everything else in the Final Fantasy universe, but they do look nice.
Oh, they're a little more important than my sword, but just a little.
A mysterious, large mass of material has been discovered beneath the largest crater in our solar system, the moon's south pole at Keen Basin, and may contain metal from the asteroid that crashed into the moon and formed the crater, according to a Baylor University study.
Wait, the whales are back?
Possibly. The crater itself is oval-shaped, as wide as 2,000 kilometers, roughly the distance between Waco, Texas and Washington, D.C., for those of you that think the metric system's evil, several miles deep, okay? Despite its size, it cannot be seen from the Earth because it's on the far side of the moon.
That's the side that has Mars.
To measure suitable changes to the strength of gravity around the moon. No. To measure subtle changes in the strength of gravity around the moon, researchers analyzed data from spacecrafts used by NASA and the Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, GRAIL, mission.
Well, you could say it's the holy cup of missions.
The dense mass, whatever it is, whatever it came from, is weighing the basin floor downward by more than half a mile. Computer simulations of large asteroid impacts suggest that under the right conditions, an iron-nickel core of an asteroid may be dispersed into the upper mantle, the layer between the moon's crust and core, during an impact.
Well, that sounds like a deep impact.
Hi-oh! Another possibility is that the large mass might be a concentration of dense oxides associated with the last stage of lunar magma ocean solidification.
So the Moonanites are throwing an intergalactic kegger?
More and more experts are being consulted on the matter. In fact, noted moon expert and computer genius Dr. Haywood Floyd says his findings conclude that a structure resembling a base is underneath the surface, and he can make out what looks like people saluting a guy on a T-Rex. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works. United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
See, Sven Gulli would be proud.
Thank you. Thank you. See, Gilbert Gottfried, that's how you reference Hitler. That's how you do it. Gah! Come on, man. Drop us a note, won't you please, podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send us a voicemail to the magic number of
510-GRD.
And we'll go think of more, you know, Iron Sky jokes for whatever's coming our way next.
Piss off.
Program completed by your command.
Attention, the arcade is now closed.
Good night, suckers!
Well, folks, I am out of here.
There's more super monkeys up at that lab. Maybe they're making an army of them up there. Holy shit! Maybe it's a conspiracy like in the X-Files. Roswell style. This little monkey could be the damn dirty ape responsible for the fall of the human race. In this world gone mad, we won't spank the monkey. The monkey will spank us.
I'm not even supposed to be here today!
And after the fall of man, these monkeys will start wearing our clothes and rebuilding the world in their image! Oh, and only those as super smart as me will be left alive to bitterly cry!
You maniacs! Damn yous! God damn yous all!
Not on my watch, motherfucker. Die, you super monkey.